Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. There's always more to learn about overcoming. It has to do with how you hear, how you see things, the choices you make, the words you speak, your response, your actions. You know, Jesus said this. He said, take heed what you hear. On another occasion, he said, take heed how you hear. Sometimes I think people talk about being balanced, you know, and so they study the other side of a thing, even though they know it's bad stuff. Well, no, a balanced diet is not equal parts nutrition and poison. That's not a balance. It's not a balance. And there is stuff. I didn't come up with that. The Lord gave me that. There's stuff, whether it's on TV, whether it's in a book or whatever, movie, online, that's absolutely spiritual poison. It is. It's dangerous stuff. You don't need to listen to it. You don't need to watch it. You don't need to think about it, because it can contaminate you spiritually. It can affect you soulically. You want something that is good and clean. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something that would that genuinely nourish you up. And the Bible calls that the words of faith. Hallelujah. Yes. That phrase is in the New Testament, nourished up in the words of faith. So, Father, we reach out to you today to give us the words of faith that will nourish our inner man, nourish and feed and minister wholeness and health and strength to us inside and out. We ask for it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Said out loud, thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
for wholesome words, spirit words that nourish me, in Jesus' name. Go to Acts 4, please, again. Acts 4. We've been on our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. We're going one after another. Initially, it was 30 reasons from Scripture. Now, we've increased it to 40 reasons from Scripture. Why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. If you think maybe it is sometimes, maybe it's not, maybe for some, maybe not for others, you cannot have faith in that area if that's what you think and that's what you believe. If you think, well, I think I can, then you don't understand what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and through the hearing, you get the questions answered and settled about His will. And you're not able... How are you going to stand absolutely strong against any temptation to doubt or any suggestion that it's not God's will if you're not fully persuaded that it is God's will? You see what I'm saying? And the Bible said in James, if you're wavering back and forth about it, vacillating, don't let that person think they'll receive anything of the Lord. So that's why we have faith school. That's why we take the time to go through not just one or two, but scores and scores and hundreds of scriptures. Not just to, you know, be scholastic, but to hear from God. What did He say? Why? Because when we hear what He said and we understand what He said, we know His will.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know what He wants.
Yes.
We know His will. And when we find that out, we get settled. We get on some solid footing, hallelujah, and we know what we can lay hold of and receive, and we know anything that tries to take it away from us or hinder us, we can resist it without changing. And so that's how you get victories. That's how you get prayers answered. That's how you get miracles. Well, our 30th reason in our study, we're calling the beginning days of the church, because the book of Acts is an account of the early days of the church, early years of the church. And it is a blueprint, if you will, of how the church is supposed to function and operate. Of course, there'd be, you know, a few changes here and there. In the beginning days, they didn't have their own buildings and that kind of thing. And everybody was a baby Christian, right, in the first few weeks and months. But the main things, the gospel has not changed. Jesus has not changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. And the way He works and moves, and you see wonderful examples of that all through this book of Acts. Well, in the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Spirit. And then by the end of the second chapter, it said they had everything, they were together, and they had everything common or together, and everybody's need was ministered to and met, and they were just, the picture is painted of a happy bunch. That they are getting fed spiritually through the apostles' teaching all the time. They were meeting together and eating together and praising God and happy. And even outsiders held them in high esteem. Does that sound good? Does that sound right? Would that have changed for us today? Or should it be the same? It should be the same. In Acts, the 4th chapter, in verse 31, it said they had prayed and the place was shaken where they prayed, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we must not rush to the part about the needs being met and rush past this. The key was them being filled with the Spirit. Are y'all awake?
Yes.
The key to the healings, the material provision, the signs and wonders, the miracles, all of that comes back to this. How many know and understand that without the Lord's help, we are ineffective?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
If all we've got is our brain and our brawn, it's not enough. We will come short. Not might. Will. Again and again. But, like the prophet said, it's not by might. It's not by power. Talking about natural might and power. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. By the Holy Spirit working in us, through us, in the church, things can happen that men couldn't make happen in thousands of years. Or ever. Look at it. He said they prayed and the place was shaken. And the Bible said the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, this was their possessions. But it was the possessions were held that way because the more significant things were held that way. Are y'all awake?
Yeah.
If God has you, He has what you have.
That's right?
Right? Yeah. If He has all of you, He also has all you have. If He doesn't have all you have, He doesn't have all of you. And this is one of the reasons people get so mad and so upset about money. There's a lot of even church-going people. Oh, they get livid. If anybody brings up tithing or offerings, they don't want to hear it. And the reason being is because it means too much to them. The money means too much to them. And they hold on to it too tightly. This is popular, isn't it? What did the master say? Go back to Luke chapter 12 And you see, he said this also in Mark, also in Matthew. But in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Oh, is he okay with me having clothes to wear and food to eat and place to stay? A lot more than that. He's given us the whole thing. The whole kingdom. The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. God's got big plans for us. But verse 33, notice Jesus' instructions to them. Sell what you have and give alms, that's to people in need, and provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, when we saw in Acts 2, it said they sold things and they gave to people in need. In Acts 4, same thing. They sold things. They're doing precisely what Jesus told them to do. Amen. Can you see that?
Yes.
For the recorded here in Luke 12 and Mark 10 and other places. In fact, go to Mark 10. Let's read Mark's account of this, because each one of them gave a little different detail. All of it's correct. Mark 10 and 21, this is the account where the rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he said, "What must I do to get eternal life?" And they talked about the commandments. And then the Lord told him, Mark 10, verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor." That word "give" there is the same word you see in Luke 18. It says distribute. And actually, the reason I bring it up is because you see that word in that passage in Acts 4. Distribute. They distributed it to those that had need. And that's what he's telling this young man that came and asked him about eternal life. Now, he said, "Sell what you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Now, people have done all kind of stuff with this verse. There are some people that take this and twist it and try to say that you can, that's how you can buy salvation, basically, is by giving enough to the poor. And that'll get you to heaven. Well, if that were true, Jesus wouldn't have needed to go to the cross. No, not even close. And you cannot buy your way to righteousness or salvation or to heaven. He, you know, the Bible said he went away sad because he had a lot of possessions, and he just wasn't willing to do that. Now, is the Lord telling everyone to sell everything they have and give it to people in need? Well, no. In Luke 19, you don't have to turn there, but in Luke 19 and verse 8, it's the story of Zacchaeus. He was a rich tax collector. And apparently a crooked one, too. Boy, in those days, the tax collectors were hated. Man, they were hated because a lot of them pocketed part of that and took advantage of their position. But the Bible said that, you know, Zacchaeus, you know, he climbed up in the tree when Jesus was coming by and to see Jesus. He's curious, wanting to know. And Jesus pointed to him and said, I'm going to your house today. And, oh, he was thrilled. And all of his tax collector buddies came, too. They all came, and the house was filled with tax collectors and other folks. And in the middle of this meal at Zacchaeus' house, he stands up. And verse 8, he said, "Lord, behold, the half of my goods I'm given to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation," why bring that up? "I restore him fourfold." I'm going to make it right. And I'm going to give him four times what I lied about. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, half is not going to cut it. All or nothing. No, that was Keith said.
Yeah.
Just now. No, the Lord said, this day salvation is come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. So which is it? All or half? Or could it be a third? Huh? Or could it be two-thirds? No. See, this is not about buying forgiveness or buying righteousness or buying salvation. Why did Zacchaeus do this? Well, why is that young man, that young rich ruler, chasing Jesus down to ask him about eternal life? Why is he not satisfied? He knows there's more to life than what he's got with all his money. He knows he's missing something. And so he runs to the Lord and to ask him question. And the thing is, he thought he was ready to hear any kind of answer, and he wasn't ready. Huh? And why did the Lord tell him to liquidate and give to the poor? And did he say, well, then you'll be rid of all that money and stuff? No, he said, you'll have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. What was the issue? Well, if you read the rest of the passage in Mark 10, maybe you're still there, I don't know. But verse 24, he said, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Money, and this is something many have not understood. Money is not the problem. It has never been the problem. Money, what is money? It's a medium of exchange. You can do good with it. You can do bad with it. You can do nothing with it. You can do a lot with it. Money's not the problem. The love of money, that's an issue. Trusting money, that's an issue. So what is the, you can see what was going on. The Lord put his finger on the issue in this young man's life. What? His faith is in his money. And he didn't realize it fully, I don't think, until that moment. His trust is so much in his material wealth and resources, he doesn't think he can live without it. He is unwilling to take a chance on not having. Well, is that okay? That you got more faith in money than you do in Jesus? Than in God? No. And see, that's why he said it's harder, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle or the tiny gate, whatever it was, than a rich man to enter into salvation. Why? Because the camel would have a load that would prevent them from getting through the access point. And you holding on to something that your Savior instead of God keep you from being saved. No. And the Lord is not, every time the Lord tells you to sow something, that's not the end of it. It's the beginning of something. There's going to come some harvest. There's going to come some multiplication. This young man would have been better off, not just in this life, but in eternity reward if he had done it. And you say, well, how can you say that? Go to Mark 10. Mm-hmm. Jesus said this man would have had multiplied harvest in this life before he left this world. Somebody says, really? Look at it. He said, verse 24, how hard it is for those that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. What is the problem, class? Is it the money? Is it the riches? The cars, the houses, the money? No. That's never been it. That's not going to be it. It's loving it. The Bible said covetousness is idolatry. Well, what is idolatry? That's having a false god instead of the real God. And you can see exactly what happened with this young man. He trusted in it so much that he could not see a life without it. He couldn't see depending on God in without it and letting it go. He went away sad. Now this there's a revelation right here too. He came, the Bible said, running to Jesus and knelt down and asked. There is an excitement in him. There is an anticipation of spiritual revelation and eternal life. And when he got his answer, because he refused to do it and rejected it, now he's lost all his joy. Can you see this? Now he's sad. He's grieved. That's a sign, a big sign. You just blew it. You just missed God big time, because your heart just sinks, and the grief and the sorrow, it's not from God. It's because you're going away from God. You're leaving God. You're rejecting God. He goes on to say, Peter began to say, verse 28, we have left all and followed you. They did it. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that young man could say, nobody would do this. No, the other men that he's looking at there, they did it. They left their families. They left their fishing company and their equipment. They just walked away from it. And every one of those 12 did the same thing. And you know, that's going to be the case if you follow God all the way. The Bible said that Abram, that God called him to leave his family, his homeland, and all that. And he said, come, Father, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you to a place where I will show you. And so he left by faith, not really knowing where he was going. That's true with everybody. We don't know the ultimate end of the plan of God. And if you're going to go all the way, you got to, in your heart, you got to be like Abraham. You live in a tent. Even if you're living in a nice house, in your heart, I'm in a tent. What do you mean? Tent can be struck this evening.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I can be on the road in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
This is going over big, isn't it? If you want to follow, I mean, if you want to go all the way, there cannot be anything that you say, oh no, I can't live without that. I can't leave that. Then that is an idol to you. That means more to you than him if you'll cling to it when he told you to do something else. You know, we've got to be willing to leave everything, anything, and follow him all the way. Why? Trust in him. Do you think God's going to take something from you and that you can't, you know, that you can't live without and that's precious? No. You lay it down and you'll find out he'll give it to you in a better way.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But you got to trust him. That's the issue. And so Peter said, we've left all. We have done it and followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily, I say to you. Now, when the Lord says something, it's true. When he pauses and says, verily, you ought to be writing it down. Is that right? I say to you, there is no man that has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Is that what he just told that young man to do?
Yes.
Leave everything, liquidate, come follow me. Well, what are they doing? They're preaching the gospel. Come follow me. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Somebody say now in this time.
Now in this time.
When is that talking about?
Right now.
In the sweet by and by.
Oh no.
Over yonder.
No.
When we all get to heaven.
No.
No. That's now. Here and now. Somebody say here and now.
Here and now.
Now, people who say, well, no, you know, God didn't tell you that you'd, you know, have much things here and now. Then have you read Mark 10, 29? What does that mean? Now, this is not just anybody that did anything. This is somebody that was willing to leave things for the gospel's sake, for the Lord's sake. You're willing to sacrifice something. You're willing to leave something to obey Him and follow Him. There are different measures of that. But he said, there's nobody that's done that. But they shall receive 100-fold. I've had preachers look at me and say, well, I don't believe in that 100-fold. What do you mean? You don't believe in Mark 10:30? You don't believe the words of Jesus? Well, that's between you and him. Leave me out of it. But I'm with Jesus on this. He shall receive. Who will receive? There's not anybody that has done what he's talking about that this won't happen for. Which means everybody that does it, this is what they can and should expect. 100-fold. Now. In this time. Somebody say 100-fold.
100-fold.
Now.
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 In this time.
In this time.
And then, in case you were confused about, the first word is what? Houses.
Houses.
Houses. Plural. Houses. Why? Because you were willing to leave a house. Can you see that?
Yes.
You were willing to leave a house. You're willing to leave land. You're willing to leave situations and familiarity and comfort and all that. The Lord said, well, I'll tell you this. You do it and you're going to reap.
Yes.
Not just what you left, but 100-fold of what you left. You're going to reap it now. In this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, and some persecutions.
Yeah.
There's been times I wanted to leave that one out, but it's right there. And because not everybody's going to be thrilled about your 100-fold reaping. But that's their problem.
Yeah.
I said that's their problem. And in the world to come, you're going to receive eternal life. Does it pay to obey God? Oh, it pays now and later.
Yeah.
And we're out of time again. Well, say it out loud, I live by faith.
I live by faith.
I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
I overcome the world by faith.
I overcome the world by
faith.
I am strong.
Strong.
Strong
in faith.
Strong in faith.
Giving glory to God.
Giving glory to God.
We'll see you next time here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.